Money, everybody, say lessons from the lathe. Parshas Naso, Parshas Bahaloscha. As I pointed out, I want to share with you something that will take us on a journey. Number one, and most importantly, for our Shana Aleph guys that are listening live during what was a power failure for a few minutes, but we got back on and they bared with us. We only lost a few hundred people. No, we only lost a few. So Baruch Hashem. Hopefully this lesson will stay with you for many years to come. As it is an important lesson, I hope you find it as important as I do. So I want to relate it to both parshios because I think that that's in a very important thing because, as I said, I like to connect it to both of the parshios and not to burden those that are in another country. And here in Eretz Yisrael, of course, we read Parshas Naso already. But let's see what's going on. So first of all, in the parsha you'll be reading next week, the parsha I'll be reading this week, Bnei Yisrael in Perek Yud Aleph in Parshas Bahaloscha, we see that Bnei Yisrael once again, this won't be the first and last time Bnei Yisrael complained. And Bnei Yisrael complained, as the pasuk says over here, "V'hi am hamit onanim." Ra be'oznei Hashem, v'yishma Hashem, v'yichar apo, v'ta'avor bam, eish Hashem, v'tochal v'kitzei ha'machana. Hashem gets very upset because the people once again bitterly complain. And before Hashem, Hashem listens and doesn't sense that they're complaining about nothing. And a fire of the Lord broke out against them. So what was so bad about their complaining? Says Rashi over here, ha'mislonanim, ein mitonanim elo loshen alila. Says Rashi, there was no pretext. They had nothing to really complain about. They were looking for a pretext so that they can separate themselves from Hashem. As the pasuk says also later on, the Sifri, he quotes the Sifri, that it says in Shoftim, when it came to Shimshon, Hagibor, buried not so far from there. By the way, I want to dedicate this year, not a by the way, but a very important dedication to Rabbi Norman Lamb, who unfortunately passed away at least I found out about it a few hours ago. He was the former president of Yeshiva University, and when I went to YU, he was just an unbelievable figure in all of modern Orthodoxy and really changed certainly Yeshiva University, but certainly modern Orthodoxy for the better. My grandfather, very close relationship with him. I had the opportunity to meet him more than a few times, and he fondly would speak to me about the relationship that he had with my grandfather. So it's certainly one of the big ones that have lost. And his neshama should certainly have an aliyah amongst all those who are suffering corona. And certainly I know you guys had a different Shavuos than you've ever experienced, I'm sure, as I had. And now, unfortunately, we're getting not the greatest news that here in Eretz Yisrael, things aren't going as they planned. And, over 100 people got it over Shavuos. So Mirtz Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shalom, should help us find, obviously, the refuah Hashem created already, but he should reveal it to us so we could move on for the positive in our lives. So Bnei Yisrael, not once, not twice, but many times will be complaining, and some about crazy stuff. You just read yesterday, or 2 days ago, we read about when the Torah was given. Right in the parsha that the Torah is given, the Bnei Yisrael complained, and they say, we don't have any water, we need water. Yes, we learned from that Torah is water, v'chulu v'chulu. And that's why we lane every few days. What a sad story. The Bnei Yisrael complain. But here's even worse. Parshas Bahaloscha, they're complaining for no reason. And we as Jews took this on in the highest regard. We love to complain. We're the biggest complainers ever. And we complain on a personal level, even when it comes to avodas Hashem. And what a perfect Rashi. Even with no reason, why only to stay far away from Hashem? Right? You complain, what do you say? You say, well, it's Shavuos, but what does Hashem expect of me? I can't stay up all night. I can't even stay up for an hour. I don't have a Rebbe. I don't have anybody to learn with. I didn't even go Shana Aleph. I only went for a few months. We could complain, and it just gets us farther away from Avodas Hashem. Terrible. Terrible. And in the parsha that you guys are reading this week, we have a pasuk which relates to me as well, because it's Birchas Kohanim. Unfortunately, with all the crazy stuff of Minyanim, So the one unfortunate thing, I still am davening outside in an outside minyan because I think it's safer. But the one downside is we don't have a Kohen. And here in Eretz Yisrael, we have the great brachas. And there's a lot of gemaras that delineate what the brachas are symbolic of. They're symbolic of financial wealth, spiritual wealth, Hashem protecting us. And they're great brachas, which you had the schus, I assume. Most of you probably, some of you, maybe had Birchas Kohanim this year. I know some things changed as far as the rules and regulations. So let's see the last of the brachas. So what does the pasuk say? Yisa Hashem pone v'lecha v'yosem l'cha shalom. So Hashem gives us the bracha, Yisa Hashem panav. Hashem will bestow his favor upon us and grant us peace. One of the greatest brachas. Inner peace. Peace amongst the Jewish people. So this is an interesting pasuk. Because pasuk later on tells us, in Devarim Yud Yud Zayin, says the following, Ki Hashem Elokeichem, Hu Elokei HaElokim, VeHashem HaAdonim, Hakel HaGibor, HaGold HaVanora, Asher Lo Yisa Panim, Lo Yikach Shoichad. The pasuk says that the Ribbono Shalom is the God that is not like a judge that can be paid off. You can't pay Hashem off. Parshas Akev tells us that what? For Hashem is your God, supreme, Lord of lords, v'chulu v'chulu. He's awesome, but he shows no favor. So keep those pesukim in mind, and obviously we have a Pasha Neshayla. Gemara Rosh Hashanah, will rate a number of Gemara. Gemara Rosh Hashanah, source number 3. Tashma, She'ela, Bluria, Hagiyiris. There was a woman named Bluria, she asked the following question. She asked Rabbi Gamliel, Kesiv b'toraschem, it says in your Torah. What? Parshas Ekev. Asher lo yisa panim. Hashem doesn't show favor to anybody. But in this week's Parsha, it says, Yisa Hashem panav elecha. It's a great question. Great question. On one place it says Hashem doesn't favor anyone or take bribes. And then Birchas Kohanim it says, guess what? I favor and take bribes. So which one is it? Good question. Gemara doesn't leave an answer. We go on to another Gemara, the Gemara Megillah. The Gemara Megillah says, Chafei Amid Beis. Birchas Kohanim Nikras. There's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says in the Daf before in Chafei, different things that we don't use a Maturgamon for. Back in the olden days, a long laning maybe, although in those days maybe they did it every 3 years, but they had a Maturgamon. You had an art scroll guy standing up there and saying what the Pesukim meant. When there were certain things that we didn't want to say out, for example, the episode with Yudin Tamar, different incidents. One of them says, because of the Gemara says, in Megillah, there's no Maturgamon. When? Mishum dechsev by Yisa Hashem panav elecha. Why? He says that when it comes to Birchas Kohanim, that Maturgamon, the translator, doesn't say anything. As we learned in the Mishnah, why, he says? Because it's not translated. The Gemara says, what's the reason for this? Because it's written, Yisha Hashem panav elecha. People might think that Hashem shows favoritism to the Jewish people in all circumstances, and that may not be true. But again, no answer. The question remains, what is it? On one hand, it says Hashem shows favoritism to the Jewish people, Yisha Hashem panav elecha. On the other hand, it says he doesn't take shochad, he doesn't take any favoritism. The Gemara Nida finally gives us an answer. Gemara Nida daf ayin amid beis. Kosov. Echad Omer. One says, Ki Yisra Hashem panav v'lo yikach shochad. And the other pasuk says, Yisra Hashem. Kan kodim gezer din, kan la'achar din. Finally, we have an answer. The Gemara Nida's answer is pretty simple. Hashem does show favor on those that do tshuva. A oft-used quote on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is V'yab yamamoso kitzechak Eloi, as we say in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Tavani, on one of the heights of B'sana Toikif. Hashem waits until the last minute for us to do tshuva. He's waiting, he's chalishing for it. Like a father to a child who says, I just had my child and I said, say you're sorry. I want him to say sorry, I don't want to punish him. Just say sorry for what you did. So that is the Yisa Hashem Panav. If we do tshuva properly, even though we did something wrong, Hashem says, further, what's amazing, he might even turn that sin into a mitzvah because we're mitaking it. Maybe that's the reason. But in my opinion, the Gemara beautifully says in Brachos, such a beautiful idea. Gemara Brachos Aschach of the days, and this needs interpretation. So listen carefully because this is not easy. The Gemara says in Brachos, the Daf Chaf HaMeveis, Darash, Rav Ivriya, Zaman Amar, Mashma Derev, Amna Vizimin Amar, to Rav Asi Amar. Malachi Ashares, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachim often have conversations with Hashem, and here's one of the conversations. Ribbono Shelo, Kasu B'sorasecha, doesn't it say in your Torah, Asher lo yisapanev lo yikach shoichad? Doesn't it say, once again, we're reviewing the same kasha that we had from the beginning? It says that you don't show favor and you don't take bribes. V'halo noisapanev li Yisrael, because the pasuk in our pasha is yishasapanev elecha. How can it be? Oh, so the Ribbono Shelo has a good answer for them, but we have to understand this answer. V'chi lo yisapanev li Yisrael? I'm not going to go show favor in Israel. They're so stark. You know why? Because they always do over and above what they have to do. Pasuk says, our pasuk of benching, al atzmam ad kezayitz, beloka beitza. So Hashem says, how can I not show favor to Israel? Because they are exacting with themselves when it comes to benching, even if they eat an olive size, or maybe a kabeitza, they bench. Even though the pasuk says what? Ve'achalta ve'savata. Are you full? No, you're not full. Don't have to bench. Minatari, you don't have to bench unless you're full. You go to Papa Guy's, you have to bench. You have Nebuch, you get to lunch late. I don't know if you remember back in the Leva Torah days. You get to lunch late, there's nothing left. And you wash on a little piece of pita. So we bench anyway. Hashem says, I'm showing favor to them. So we have to understand. Until now, I understand the other things made sense to me. First of all, it's a question. Two Gemaras didn't give a good answer. One Gemara says, okay, it gives us time to do tshuva. And now this Gemara explains something about benching that's unique about the Jewish people, where we're machmen. Hashem loves that we're machmen. She has to show us favoritism. Okay. Good. Let's continue. So, again, let's review. I like to stop sharing for a moment so I can see all the wonderful faces, some of them. Week after week, I see there are a lot less wonderful faces. And not because there's not a lot of people on there. People don't want to show their faces. They're scared. I know. Okay. Anyway, so comes along the idea in the Gemara in Brachos, which is going to be the source of what I'd like to say today. And there's something unique about benching, right? Because we're going to ask the question, but I'll just say it just in a moment. And that is that there are a lot of things that we do that are lifnim mishuras hadin. There's a lot of extra things we take upon ourselves. And in fact, on Shabbos, this Shabbos, you just experienced, unfortunately, the power failure we had on Friday night. We had another power failure on Friday night. It lasted for an hour and a half. On Friday night, it's not as pusha as over here. Here, my Zoom didn't go on for 10 minutes. Big deal. On Shabbos, you're working out all the problems with Shabbos. I had a cholent on. There's a shiloh by the cholent, although it was fully cooked, so it was fine. I had a shiloh, right? You have all these shilohs, but they're, just call a guy and you can do everything. No, we're machmir. We don't do alidei akam unless there's a reason why. And so on. We're super machmir by so many things. We take the high road and we say, I know this is what Hashem says in the Torah, but we're going to do even better. So what's so special about this? What's so unique about this? Oh, so now we're going to continue again. And go back into my sharing screen. And comes along the Rashbam and says like this. So I think that this helps our idea. I think this is similar to the idea, not the idea we saw in Barachas the Rashbam, but the idea we saw in Megillah. I'm sorry, the idea that we saw in Nida. The Gemara Nida. And that is that Hashem demonstrates their love for those who follow their commandments. So I think it's, in my opinion, I unfortunately can't speak to the Rashbam anymore, but I think it's both of the opinions. Because on one hand, what does it mean that Hashem waits? We do bad sometimes, but it's not who we are. Says the Rashbam, Hashem forgives us and he shows us favor because he knows it's not the real you. When you sin, it's not the real you, who you are. And if you did something bad this morning, right, and I bet there's maybe one person on here, maybe because he lives in L.A., so we'll give him Don LeCop's foot, and he didn't put his tefillin on yet. He run to go to Rav Hartstein's Zoom because it's the most important thing ever. So Hashem says, okay, he's going to put it on there. He's learning Torah now. Okay, I'll give him a pass. Hashem loves us because we observe his commandments, sof kol sof. And therefore, how is he going to turn against us? He turns on those that hate him and don't follow the Torah. There are different types of Jews, and people aren't following the right ways. So he's not going to show them favoritism. But us, even though we sin a little bit, he knows that we're good kids, ultimately. similar, I think, to both things. And Veharaya, the same guy that didn't daven this morning, is benching for breakfast. He didn't daven this morning. He's eating breakfast and benching, and I said, what's going on over here? He didn't have to bench. He only had a half a bagel. Ah, he's machmir. See, it must be a good guy. Comes along the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says, beautiful Yishe Sam Podov, source number 8. Isuk Maga Barachas, I'm not going to go over it again. What's so special about this Kazayas or Kibetza? Nir Levar HaAdam HaMakabel HaKoba Ahava. Who? Oh, you should see, but he doesn't complain. He's not a complainer. Everything that Hashem gives him, he doesn't complain about. He gets a Biava. He has the weirdest situation in his life. He's got to stay home with his parents for 3 months. He wants to kill himself. He's been dreaming about his year in Israel. He goofed off the entire high school because he knew we'd go to Leva Torah and become frum. And they took it away from him in March. And he had to run away from Israel. Mirtz Hashem will run back very soon to Israel. And what happened? Yisro says, the Chassam Sofer, anything that happens to me is Latova. I don't look at not being able to learn in my normal shul with, you know, all the delicious... there's definitely at least one or few people on here that knows what I'm talking about when I say the menus that they have in these shuls, right? They warn you before that Leil Tikkun Leil Shavuos, you better be milchik, because first we have the ice cream party, and then we have the waffle station, and then the Nebuch is going to be so hungry at 3 o'clock in the morning, we're going to have poppers, and we're going to have a barbecue. It's amazing. Learning becomes sweet and beautiful, right? That's good. There's something to that. As long as there's some learning in between. You didn't have it this year. I complain. I take it besimcha. I said, you know what? For the first time, I'll be able to learn myself. I'm going to challenge myself and see if I can do it. You know what? I couldn't go to Israel. I couldn't finish the year. I'm still going to finish the Gemara that I promised myself I was going to finish. I'm still going to finish Mishnayos. I thought I would do it with my Rebbe. I'm still going to do it. Says the Chassam Sofer, I take everything ba'ava, oish v'simon, shemakir toiv, everything's good, ki toiv Hashem. So I want to understand a little bit. So says the Chassam Sofer, let's continue for a second. Hashem yitbarach, eino medaktek imo. You know why I'm not medaktek? It's pashut, he says. God is not looking at every little sin that you did, because you also don't look at like every single law and say, well, really, I don't have to bench now. Why not? Give hoidah to the Rabbanu Shalom. Still was food. I still had something, even though, the yeshiva, I only came at 105 and I didn't get the, okay. So I can complain all I want, but I'm still going to give hoidah to you, Hashem. And the same thing, as I pointed out, I think even last week, is the guy who complains about what he has in his life and what he's been diagnosed with, and maybe rightfully so. Now, I'm not kidding. Not making a joke out of it. He has ADHD and RTH, forehead, and he has, you know, whatever. He's pregnant, and I don't know, whatever. He's got all the excuses not to learn. He thinks he has all the excuses. But some of the greatest accomplished people in the world, including, and especially CEOs, if you read their stories, all have learning disabilities. Because they applied themselves. We spoke last week about the yagia of Torah, the sweat of Torah, not sitting back and relaxing and listening to a fun shir by Rav Hartstein and saying, oh, this is great. But doing something after you hear this year. So the Rabbanu Shalom, we're not medaktik. So he's like, how can he be medaktik with us? But I think there's even more of a gorgeous idea here. And I wrote this in English because that's where I found it. There was an amazing Rav. Sad that we don't have the history. We know the history of this Rav, but we probably never heard of him before. Rav Eliyahu Gutmacher of Gdansk, the great Rav, who was actually one of the great Zionist leaders. There's a place you might have gone for Shabbos called Stay Eliyahu. Stay Eliyahu is named for him. And he wrote a number of different commentaries. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Just want to point out that Rabbi Akiva Eiger, there was a horrible epidemic, a pandemic in Europe. I think it turned out to be cholera. People were dying. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger came out with quote-unquote crazy takanos about not davening in shul anymore. And maybe not even davening outside, which turned out to be also a better idea because it was cold. And his Talmud of Gutmacher went and when his Rebbe died and it still was in during this pandemic, went with it and he convinced people and many people to save their lives literally about the importance of the Shemarta Ma'oidis Nafshal Seichem and not davening in shuls. This has been quoted a lot. Rav Kiva Eger is more quoted than he is. He has a gloss on this Gemara in Brachos that we quoted. Rav Palm quotes this and he says this so, so beautifully. Listen carefully, source number 9. The biblical obligation to bench is only, as we said, when one is satiated. To go beyond the letter of the law, and we, even by an olive size, we bench. Based on the Shulchan Aruch 184:6, I quoted it here, Shir Achila Levarech Aleha, Birchas Abazim is Kazayas. This evokes the favor of Hashem to deal generously and mercifully with them. Why? Finally, now we get to an answer. Besides the Chassam Sofer's beautiful answer, and the Rashba's beautiful answer. Most rabbinically mandated mitzvahs are fulfilled by a Jew more than it was required, as I asked. All the mitzvahs we do more than we're supposed to be doing. We always do that. We don't just buy a pashut of lulav and esrog. Oh, we spend so much money on it. Hanukkah candles, we only have to light one candle a day. Who does that? Nobody does that. A lot of people light oil. We're always doing, so why this one? So he quotes the Medrash, Tanchuma, in Parshas Naso, in our Parsha. A person who feeds his family and due to poverty only has a small piece of bread to give them could easily become embittered by his fate. Nebuch, can you imagine the guy comes home with only one bagel for his whole family and he has to cut it up into 7 pieces? Azai chutzpah? How mad is he at Hashem? And he benches? Because everybody was able to have at least a kazayas? As the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, when he becomes hungry, he will become angry and curse the king and his gods. But the Jew doesn't react angrily or attempt to throw off the yoke of heaven. He doesn't complain. You know what he says? Thank you, Hashem. He blesses Hashem because he was given something, a bit of sustenance. He acknowledges the kindness, even of this. The act invokes heavenly mercy. Hashem says, I can't believe this guy. He's going through such a difficult time, and he still benches with great fervor. He tells his kids, we still have to thank Hashem. That's amazing. What an amazing lesson. And Rav Palm continues on this lesson, and he says, in his Sefer, The Pleasant Way, many people go through life complaining about their pekelach. Pekelach means their situation. They bemoan their poor health, which is really not so bad. They don't have enough parnasha, inadequate living conditions, unsatisfactory jobs, and many more matters if I can add, and corona. Why did God do this to me? He had to do it when I'm 19 years old, at the height of everything. Well, now I don't have to be so frum. Now I can go off to my secular college and do whatever I want, because it's not my problem. God decided to do this. He could have done it last year. I would have had the full year. I went to Israel. I don't want to, this is really dating myself, but I went to Israel the year after the Gulf War. And everybody was cheated that year of the Gulf War. And when our year started, we were, you're so lucky. Last year it wasn't a year, it was a joke. So you can complain all you want. Fortunate are those that realize no matter how good or how they may have or how much they may lack, they have a great deal to be thankful for. Even the small crust of bread, they thank Hashem for. The one who nourishes the entire world, the goodness, the kindness, as we say in Benjamin. Thus, Birchas HaMazon serves to highlight why Klal Yisrael earns divine favor. You know why? Because they appreciate and they're grateful to Hashem no matter what. That's such a great idea. That's the idea, potentially. They're happy, the Chassam Sofer's idea as well. They're happy with even a kazayas, because you know what? They're not so machmir. And Hashem says, how can I be machmir him? Look what he did. The same, by the way, idea, but look how they treat. They don't, halachically, they don't have to open the door for every single person for chesed case, but they do anyway. How can I be mean to him? When we say, Hashem, Hashem, kil rachim v'chanun, erach apayim, erach chesed, Hashem says, well, you want me to have chesed on you? What did you do? So if you're doing that, Hashem says, how can I do differently? How can I be different? And that's why Hashem loves us so much, the Rashba. Because even though we do things wrong, We do so much right and so much more important to Hashem. That's right. And that's what the idea is, Rabbi Yisrael. That's the idea. And that's what we have to be thinking about as you, unfortunately, come to a strange end of your year in Israel. Because you're not in Israel. I'm the only one here. And you would have had a blackout, so it wouldn't have been so good. But anyway, the concept is so important to you to understand. You could live your whole life with excuses. You could. And you could tell your grandchildren, you could tell your child, you know why I can't teach you Gemara now? Because I never learned Gemara appropriately because my year was cut short back in 2020. It's like, 2020, Dad, you're still old, man. And I can't teach you Gemara now because I didn't learn how to learn Gemara. Instead of saying, no, I'm going to get myself a chavrusa. I'm going to be embarrassed and call one of my rabbeim and say, Rebbe, I'm going next year to Maryland. Can you get me a chavrusa with one of the Stark Leva Torah guys that are there? Because I want to be honest with you. I don't know how to learn Gemara. I don't love learning. Can you help me out? And those guys that are taking the leap of faith and going back Shana Bet, even though they don't even know, they're zeicha to do that, call a kavod to you. Call a kavod. And if you're thinking about it, keep thinking about it. I'll write you a letter of recommendation. Not all of you. Only the ones whose faces I can see. Okay. Rabbi say the challenge of life is that. Stop complaining. Last week's was stop making excuses. Yes, stop complaining and stop making excuses for yourself. It's not going to get you anywhere in life. Say, yes, I have this challenge. How am I going to go through it? The poorest person in the world is benching to Hashem. That's what the Gemara is talking about. He's saying even that guy is giving Hashem. He says, maybe tomorrow we'll have a good meal. But how are we not going to thank Hashem for this meal? Instead of making an excuse, say, well, Midaraisa, we don't have the bench, so we're going to show it to God and not bench today. What do you think he's going to care? You think he cares? The answer is yes, he does, because he loves us so much. You know why he shows us favor? Because we show favor to others. Because we get Hashem. We know everything's Latova. I obviously don't know the reasons. I'm not a Navi, Vani Lo Ben Navi. But what I can tell you and what I know for sure is everything happens for a reason. Your year got cut short for a reason. I happened to be on a few Zoom calls before I knew what Zoom was because I had some conference calls on it. But I never knew to share a screen. So it's a different way of learning. Maybe it's going to open up a new thing for alumni where we'll do lessons from the lathe every week. Maybe it'll be more learning opportunities from you that I could talk to somebody sitting in California and somebody sitting in Toronto and somebody sitting in New York. It's pretty amazing. Can you imagine if Corona hit 20 years ago? If it hit my year in Israel 25 years ago? There were no cell phones. Let's go to 20 years ago. There were cell phones. You had, what would you do? What would we have done? There'd be no year. That would be it. What would my kids do sitting at home? There'd be no Zooms. They would use the phone. The phone costs 25 cents a minute. What are you, crazy? God knows what it would have been. So stop complaining. You have so many svarim you could use. Online, it's unbelievable. I was preparing this shir today. If I couldn't find it in the Bar Ilan, I was able to go to, what's it called? Safaria, whatever it's called. Or I could go into Hebrew books to try. It's amazing. And everything's in English. So stop making excuses. Hashem put us here for a reason. He gave you this very big challenge of Corona for a reason. For you to accomplish, for you to be amazing. And I challenge you to take it on upon yourself. Keep your learning going. Wake up every morning, no matter what day it is, when the Zoom stopped at the end of the week. Daven and learn something. Acquire yourself a new sefer. And a new sefer when you go to sleep at night. Before you go to sleep, no matter what you're doing. I don't care if you just partied. You open up a new sefer. And I don't care what the sefer is. It's Misiel Susharim. It's Mishnah Brewer. It's just, I don't care. Something that's going to inspire you. The bookends I speak about. And as we spoke about a few weeks ago, be a Tamid Jew. Tamidim is the most important pasuk of the Torah because day in and day out, you do it even if you don't feel it one day. We still bench. We still do it because we love you so much, Hashem. And with that, Amir Tz Hashem, I give you the bracha of success and only good things should always happen to you.